Lawrence Corley of CTSM.
Thank you so much.
It's been my privilege to not only work on this, but to be with your people, many of which are leading certain ministries in your church. And the basis of what we're presenting today is the responses to the surveys that were turned in about what the ministry needs are. It's not ideas, designs, my thoughts. It's rooted in your ministries, not actually your facilities. Of course, the buildings once built shape and mold those ministries. And so we want to remove the roadblocks and open opportunities for what can be done, as well as to enhance the things that are already working. So I just want to share a little bit about what God has revealed, because through the surveys, we asked the ministry leaders to reveal what God really needed your church to do. But as we did that, we sought to discover what he already knows that you need to do for him, so that you'll be in a position that you simply can be a part in obeying what he's called you to do. So let me just share some of that with you here. Your facilities are stunning and magnificent. They've done well for decades. The question is how to make them relevant to who you are and who you hope to be and what other generations need you to do. This room is just a testimony to the commitment and sensitivity to ministries and to making something absolutely gorgeous that is also extremely functional. Now, you know well your buildings. You know the sanctuary building that's here, South Fifth Street, Walnut. I'm going to call this the education building. I've heard it called three different things. This is the Davis building, your chapel, your Family Life Center building. And then you realize the Fowler building is not there anymore, which is wonderful, I think. But there's the parking lot beyond, and here's where many of us park this morning, and here's Family Life Center parking lot. Now, you got a pretty good bit of property for a downtown church. In fact, more than many of the downtown churches that we've helped, the question is how then to use that productively. Now, this is actually a master plan, and listen when I say the word master plan. It's a site plan that shows your facilities. But it's not focused on land planning and engineering. It's focused on what they can do for the ministries. You'll recognize the Davis building, the education building, the Family Life Center, the what I call the east parking lot, though I've got it altered here. And then you'll see this yellow area is actually the hallway that many of us used this morning and an addition right there. And that's the only addition that we're really proposing. Everything else is a renovation, modification, or development of your existing buildings. Because obviously you have a great deal of space. The question is how to make them ministry relevant. Now notice on that master plan that we're talking about taking the area where the Fowler building is and putting parking between what you have used, maybe someone used it today, and join it over here. We'll get more to that in a moment. It also shows the east parking lot and shows not just the paving that's all asphalt here, it shows that developed landscape, walkways right into the front door of the church, and then adding capacity should you need to develop those at any time in the future, incrementally or all at once. Now, the master plan of the buildings is really where our focus will be today, because that's really where your ministry actions are. And notice this area here is in the backyard that you might call the utility corridor in the back where equipment and many things are, and then a little bit of handicap space and so forth. And then these other things such as the fellowship hall, the sanctuary, the education building, the Davis building, the babies area are scattered around. But notice the master plan has an umbilical connection between the parking lot that serves you well, about 32 spaces, with the new parking lot that will be about 95 spaces when developed, and it's connected by a driveway that's about the width of two interstate lanes. Now, step one in the implementation of that is to build this addition and several other things, and basically leave this parking lot and develop that parking lot, leave this parking lot, and then you'll have basically parking close to what you'll see in a moment is a new front door to the church, though you'll never overcome the strategic and wonderful vista of the front steps and the columns and the sanctuary entrance, because this is a holy place. This would be the operational front door of the church. Allow me to explain that just a little bit in a moment. So when that's done, you'll see everything pretty much in order from a parking lot standpoint, except you'll see still more parking, bringing this to a total of 95 spaces right outside that new entrance. Now, that lower level, would see this addition and a canopy, and then renovations and redecoration and several key improvements of the preschool area. And then it also includes making a children's suite right above it in about a commensurate amount, and just helping you get all the children together in a secure area. Yeah, that is, you don't want to lose very many children. But you also, as you do that, you can administrate that and you can keep up with things and have all the resources you need handy to those ministries. Now, that's what this would look like with that addition. I'll come back to that in more detail, but you see, this is a large gathering space between the Davis Building and the back of the sanctuary, and it eclipses and encapsulates the mechanical room building that's back there, and indeed rearranges the equipment so they're not in the way of what we're talking about. And has a drive-in canopy here where your wife can let you off and you can go in and wait for her inside while she parks. It's real, real handy for you. Now, that gathering space, we don't have a picture of every nuance of that. This is mere master planning. But these are pictures of what happens at other churches, Liberty Church in Chelsea. Here's actually Prince of Peace Catholic Church in Hoover. This is First Baptist Fairhope. Some of you might have been there in vacation. That's the vestibule or foyer, narthex. I call it a gathering space. And another way to think about that is that's a connector or a hub of how your buildings work together. Their goal is not merely just access, entrance. They're meant to help you blend your congregation so that people who are in different Sunday school classes, I'll say cell of the church bodies, those cells can come together and see each other, not just in a setting like this and, oh, Susie's over there, John's over here, we hardly knew you came to church. It blends people together at the main entrance to the church and in turn the main exit from the church. And so you see that building community going on, people actually talking about their grandchildren, talking about what's happened at the doctor's office, talking about spiritual things that's going on in the church and sharing. And you can see conning tower kind of spaces at First Baptist Statesboro, Georgia, and then a more modest thing at First Baptist Long Beach, Mississippi, and then Fairhope again. And notice there's a welcome center there, but the primary action is what the members do in that gathering space. Now, this canopy that I joke about, it's pretty wide. It's tall enough for a bus to roll under it. It's the height of an interstate bridge under it. And it would be handsome enough that it would be seen as the entrance instead of an entrance. And we might put a little cupola on it, maybe with a copper top and cross or whatever the committee decides. But you see, it would be seen and almost like a magnet to draw people on South Fifth Street to say, oh, this is the place where you enter. And if just inside these two pair of double doors there, there's a welcome center, you see it begins to focus the arrival instead of, well, there's a door over here and a door over there and they're all unlocked, please come in where you want to. You focus it where you're prepared to receive them, even if they're regular church members, not just if they're visitors. Now, that's an important function with that canopy and this welcome center. But there's 3,000 or 4,000 square feet of space here, so there's plenty of room to be comfortable and have seating areas or just places to sit and chat or places to wait on people in your family. And you can imagine welcoming, you might have a couple of people there, somebody to escort somebody to a place of their ministry need, like Sunday school or whatever, and then somebody else to stand there not only smiling, but to welcome, genuinely welcome people. But there's a ministry connection center here. That's a place where you exchange information about what's going on in the church and forecast things that you'd like to involve people, so you don't say, oh, I wish I'd have known about that. I bet that's never happened in your church, but in my church, sometimes that actually happens. And but the circles are to point out two key things. Probably the first order of business is to replace the elevator that you enjoy today. And some have said that it's almost what you need. Other people have said very direct things that doesn't meet our needs. And so if we simply replace that, we could put, with a larger elevator, we could put folding tables, carts, caskets, paraphernalia that's being moved around the church, and several many people instead of, well, say, just three or four people. And it's large enough that it won't fit in the throat of this corridor and still be able to get in the door with those large things, long things. And so we're going to make that accessible. Oh, to your boulevard, your main corridor in the church is here, and it will open directly there. And these doors that we show are fire doors. They'll remain open except during fire events or smoke events. And so it'll be open to that main hallway. That means when you come in and you're welcomed and you blend, then you can move up and down in the building there. Now, many of you have said, wow, I could do this and this and this in the Davis building, but I can't get up there. Or everybody in my ministry can't get there, even if I can. And so there would be an elevator put here a few inches away from the existing wall, and it would get you to all three levels of the Davis building. So now every level is connected, including the fact that this would go down a quarter of a story to a tiny vestibule here, so you could get not only to the fellowship hall, that seems rather significant to be able to have it accessible, then that gets you down to the level of the bottom floor of the education building and so forth. And so, unfortunately, you would not need that lift anymore. Now, I tease you about that, but you see, with the elevators then on the second floor is accessible, and then this elevator would get you to what I call the office and music floor and library floor today. Oh, and then there might be something else developed on the third floor of Davis, and well, this could be adult education up there for even senior adults if you choose, whether you do or not. The point is, it's all accessible. And you realize these stairs work and they get you there, and they're fine if you know the way, but sometimes wayfinding is an issue with people who are not used to all that. So we'd clarify a little bit of that, and then we would just remove that lift, and we would make this a significant way to move up and down with clarity. And so it's not going to solve every issue. We have existing buildings that have characteristics that are frozen, but we're going to clean up all that we can of that and just make it not only redecorated, but functionally all it can be. And so the lift would be given or sold somewhere, and then we'd reestablish these stairs, and that means you have generous movement through here. We'd put a handrail in the middle so that those who need just a little assistance would be able to go up and down in both directions without stumbling, so forth, because they are, 4 or 5 feet tall. Now, another thing that we're talking about doing is taking the preschool area and trying to make it secure. We're all aware of the world we live in, and every town and every part of our nation, and you know, things happen, and we see it on the news. Well, we don't want those to happen at your church. And so if we could make that to where at the preschool area, you don't just walk down the hall and go in these 3 or 4 doors there, and then you go on into the rooms, kind of uninhibited. If we were to put a welcome center here that's within view of that canopy and welcome center and the gathering space, and at the focal point of the hall and going to the Davis building, and it's kind of the gate, so to speak, then we put a pair of doors there. And yes, there's a toilet room there today, but we would open that, remove a couple of closets that are here, because you see how narrow this is through here today? It's almost comfortable. My wife's claustrophobic, and You know, she just doesn't feel comfortable when everything's tight and everything. Well, it makes it open, but it makes it serviceable to make this a suite that's secured right there by this person to operate it. And so that would make a cocoon, a corral in which to have your ministries. And then these rooms could be redecorated and reappointed, maybe a few little things to bring them up. And then that would be a major deal. Now, upstairs, second floor, Davis building, a similar thing might happen, but this part here means that you not only have weekday ministries, this is for your church to get those things in order so that you can begin to attract young families. Because what family would not want their child to be secure when they go to their adult Sunday school class? And so we want that to be inviting and secure for all the reasons and all the ministries. And there are many other ministries that could be there. Now, you see that Welcome Center here? It's similar to this at two other churches. And look, yours isn't going to look like that. It's going to look like you want it to be. But you see functionally what's happening. It's basically a gatekeeper. Now, some said, as we talked about this, that we ought to do something to say, kids are welcome here, or come on in, kids, or things like that. I don't have a picture of what you could do or ought to do, but I want to show you what happened at this one church. They had a canopy that looked like this, rather homely canopy, but functional. And we rearranged all the children's ministries just inside a door here. And so we took that canopy and put what I call a little children's steeple here and put a little gable to make that nicer looking. And then we put lettering like Brookwood Kids and then a symbol of the kids' ministries, a logo of the kids' ministries there, and did it with colorful things, even made a place where you could hang banners for Vacation Bible School and, you know, back to school events, and just made it where it says, kids, this is the place. Don't know what you'll decide to do, but that's a powerful testimony to the community, and it's inviting the kids, and it actually excites the kids to want to come to God's house. Now, the second floor would be redeveloped, but there's a lot of space there, and we don't need it all yet, and so financially it'd be better to take a little more than you need today and develop that, allow you some growth room. And you see these classrooms are taking the little bitty classrooms and the opening assembly rooms that are there today and just expanding those and making them actually like Lifeway resources in Nashville suggests that we do. And then it includes a children's church here. Now, you're well aware that these children's spaces are scattered a couple of three places around the church, and they're in good places. It's probably not so set up for kids and colors and secure, but they're housed. But the word is more like they're accommodated, shelter, instead of we've got a secure zone. Everything about it says kids, and it's set up for ministry excellence, not accommodation. So as we do that, we might just develop that and make that a special place. Like this children's church room might hold 50 or 75 kids, depending on how much equipment you put in there, with a little stage and so forth. And we might make a village look here, not just I'll say go down the hall, we got doors. And these classrooms might be colorful, not necessarily something that you see out here, but that village look and that could be very inviting to the kids. And that's where they get off the elevator or come up these stairs. There's the control point. Maybe a little less restrictive or controlling than the preschool. Now, this is what a kid's room looks like for elementary kids. And you see these are regular colors, Crayola colors, whatever. And those are regular price tiles arranged in an interesting pattern. And the cabinet work there is, maybe something that's very functional. And preteen areas at one church looks like this, preteens being not youth yet, but older teens, because they feel like they're almost youth and they want to be youth, just like a three-year-old wants to be three and a half. And so with that, you might have an opening assembly area that I call a kids' church or an activities room or a place for indoor play that might look like that at a church way out in the country in Chelsea. And see, it's a place where a fourth grader could get up there and become a worship leader and be trained to be a key member of your church for one or two generations from now, instead of, well, they attend and they're here, that kind of thing. Well, if this space is large enough, we can do all kinds of activities like Friday night movies, the church, and all kinds of things. Now, this is not a storage room. It's a resource room. If you put one of those in the preschool area, another in the children's area, it would be like a library or a reservoir that you draw the supplies you need, and there's rolls of papers and dies to cut out Play-Doh and delivery system called a basket, laminators, everything stored and neat and organized and ready for ministries, and you just check out what you need. Now, this building, we could do lots of things, but several people said, I just need a restroom close to this building, particularly one that's accessible. And so we're talking about going outside and that stair back there, and there's some floor space, and we take the table out, and in what might be a closet today, we'd make a little toilet chamber and just make a little half bath there. And that means when you come into the building, you have access, but you also could go backwards from the sanctuary and get to it instead of parading past the preaching and the music and so forth. And then obviously you have other restrooms around the building. Eventually you may make a restroom in the baptistry robing area, whether you do that early or not. For obvious reasons, it's a place of accommodation for somebody who's being baptized. Now, if that's what this looks like at phase one, that's a pretty bold change. But you noticed almost all the words I've used are ministry accommodations or ministry excellence instead of architecture or beauty. But we might want to do something for God that's beautiful because he's worthy of that. So it's a blend of those things. Now, in a future phase, probably not phase one, we might actually take the kitchen and make a full commercial kitchen with serving lines, with places to store operable wall panels that would make seven classrooms that could hold 232 adults, with walls kind of like you see in a Sheraton or Hilton enveloping those classrooms. You don't need that now. You have plenty of space, but we could set it up that way just in case you're successful and have many adults that need to be accommodated over the years, or just a few. And there's a storage room. There's a class, a closet to hold fellowship hall things, from salt and pepper shakers to decorations for Valentine's or for some special event in the church. And just all kinds of little features that make that kitchen and the fellowship much stronger. And the stage would be gone and there'd be a mere platform here. And I'm sure we'd renovate these restrooms with that. Now, these are pictures of other churches, and yours won't be exactly like that. In fact, yours is pretty nice now. We would probably do more changing the functional characteristics and lighting and give you windows that are beautiful and thermally excellent, whatever in it. But you see receptions, and then here's a wedding Friday night rehearsal kind of thing. Those operable wall panels is what I'm saying could make classrooms. And I've done churches with 15 or 20 of those classrooms in the fellowship hall. Seldom do you have Wednesday night meals on Sunday morning, so it makes an education building out of that fellowship hall. Or this church, unfortunately, grew too fast and their sanctuary was too small, and so they put 900 people in that 600-person fellowship hall for worship three times on Sunday. Well, they got a lot of use out of the fellowship hall. And then a commercial kitchen. Now, the third floor of Davis, well, there's a lot of space up there, and some of it is used. You're aware of handbells and other such things up there now. What if we made that a youth suite, youth center, and we had there a welcoming place that became a sidewalk cafe of high-top tables, and then games, and then a lounge and a big screen TV, and then classrooms, we call them breakout rooms for youth. And then this is a theater for, I call it youth theater, where they could have assembly and things after basketball games and football games for the whole town. And if we had garage doors here, almost for the fun of it, you could spill out into here and hold a couple of hundred kids. and they could be coming to First Baptist Church instead of somewhere after those events. And that could be a magnet to be an outreach event to draw them to your church. And when that's too small, you could use Family Life Center to make it for Senior High Breakout and have all the youth up here for assembly and let this be a junior high suite or whatever, whenever, at any time in your future. And here's pictures at a downtown church in Starkville, Mississippi, and breakout rooms at their church. I don't know what you'll do, but that's just an idea of what some churches do for youth. And there's a sidewalk cafe kind of thing at a church in Atlanta, one here in Trustville, games, lounge for youth, not for adults, for youth, with their kind of flavors. There's their youth theater, I call it. And here's some games and so forth. Now, the third floor of the education building above the office and music suite, it's used, but not a lot. Well, if you could, excuse me, I think the handbells are here. But at any rate, if you could develop that for 7 or 8 adult classrooms, oh, because you have this elevator that's worthy and dependable and comes here, that could be excellent adult space. And it would not take massive renovations to make it that way. And we've arranged classrooms by just enlarging the little ones that are there. And I think this one holds 46 and that one holds 16. A variety of sizes for a variety of classes. And I don't know whether they would look like this or like this, or whether you would add features probably to be able to have video presentations for your teaching, a DVD player. I guess we're already at the electronic age, and all classrooms and all churches we've designed the last 15 years have little features like that, so you can buy this equipment when you're able to or desire to. Now, that office area that's here might be a music suite, and then this might be a church office closer to the sanctuary, and there's actually robing rooms here that are not almost big enough or whatever. They're big, where you could get 20, 30 people robing in a 4 or 5 minute period. And then you could just have enough room there that you actually have people flowing through there. There's probably enough anthem space in that music library for 2,500 anthems. And you have lots scattered in 3 places around the church. And then this is a handbell suite here, beside the music suite, beside where the ministers would be, and the support staff. About 10 different staff positions, locations, could be housed there. And then a little larger choir suite than you're used to in a much larger robing area. And this is a picture at one church of what that looked like. And then downstairs at the bottom of the education building that is now accessible by the elevator, we might eventually put the chapel, not that we want to need another chapel, but if the preschool were to grow where there isn't enough room, the natural thing is to keep it in its same secure environment. And so you'd build a larger chapel here that has the appointments equal or better to what you have now, and maybe even a more refined look. And then a parlor that's actually equal in size, a couple of chambers or not, and then maybe library space and whatever. Those things, and they'd be accessible here to the fellowship hall. They would come from the gathering space rather handily here. So you see the elevator being a part in that. All that is synergistic, putting the adults with the adults, the children in a secure environment, and children's ministries in their domain so they have a sense of ownership and purpose. Now this room, lots of things could be done, but it's wonderful now, but you need to tune up your TV system a bit, equipment-wise and wiring and things like that. The screen may or may not be what you want long-term. That might be considered. Some have said maybe we need to adjust the flow and control of the air conditioning and heating system. Various things have been talked about in addition to this restroom back in the dressing area. And it's a wonderful room. It's absolutely wonderful. But you might tune it up for these ministries that are here or would be planned in here. And to give you an example, this is Parker Memorial in Anniston, and it was an 1890s building originally, and you see there's a stage where you could almost get 2 people on the stage. and you could almost get all the choir, well, except when you had cantatas, and then you just had to do something else. And we basically made a removable railing, a larger choir. We made a pulpit that actually worked where children's choirs could be on the front here and other things. And we put rear screen projections so you wouldn't see it to be very mechanical looking, but even video screens in the 1890s historic sanctuary, so that all of that just worked. See, it's ministry focus, not just beauty. And equipment, all this stuff is just part of our life. There's TV ministry at a given church and audio systems. Now, I said we might do these things of shifting, not that you want to or need to yet, but if this ministry here for the preschool grows, it could take the balance of this space and add some classrooms all together, all controlled by what you do first. And there would be one way in, one way out. Might even be a little playground here to go out, still fenced in and back in here, so the little kids with 12-inch legs don't have to cross the driveway, and they're not out of the secure zone. They're tied to it, even on the playground. See, here's a place where Matt can change diapers between services and stuff, and all kind of things. He's rock his baby or others to sleep. Yeah, all that stuff could go on. Nurseries, nursing areas would be thought out and worked out. There's a special needs kids room. You might have a ministry like that where a 40-year-old paraplegic can be here, or a kid who has cerebral palsy that's two could be there and just get the things that they need. But most of these classrooms would have a lavatory that's this high in case you want to teach the two-year-old to wash their hands, or they want to get a drink, or they have stuff in their backpack, or they have just finger paints that's got to have a place to dry, and other kids are touching mine kind of thing. And this little toilet room between the classrooms, see, that toilet's 11 inches high, better than I have for my grandchildren at my house. And that lavatory is about this high, so the two-year-old again can wash their hands. The corridors inside of a secure zone for only preschoolers might actually look like children. I didn't say that around your adult areas, but they might be something that just makes it playful, fun. And the children's church area might be with puppets and place for four-year-old kids to learn to be worship leaders, and where you play DVDs and all kinds of things. Now, playgrounds even need to be thought out, like this would be for infants, and this would be for preschoolers, and this would be for children. And most churches have one playground. But do you put a one-year-old on a merry-go-round except with an adult? You have to have genders of things that fit what they do. So that children's area on the second floor of Davis would be expanded, as you see here, to include a children's church room for activities, teaching, large-scale events, vacation Bible school, all kinds of things. And then when and if the youth outgrow that third floor of Davis, you would convert the rooms you already enjoy to breakout rooms for senior high, maybe, and even use the racquetball courts, altered or not, as you choose over time. Very little activity, but you want to think about just in case you're successful like that. So this church has senior ministries in the Family Life Center and so forth, and we're talking about blending what the youth have with all the church. So that's the kind of look that it would be, and you see multiple ministries thought out here. Dining, sports, all kinds of things in that room that you have so nicely in that gymnasium there. So the first steps in the journey are to do this addition and work out the first and second floor, part of it, not all of it. And with that addition, you'll see a dramatic change, but internally in those ministries for the children, you'll see something that actually changes the excellence of your ministries. That's what this is about. First steps in the journey and a clear, defined vision, a target for what you're trying to do for God. I will be praying for you as you consider such powerful things to change the destiny of your church in the future.
Luke chapter 12, verse 48, the second half of that verse, this is what our Lord Jesus Christ says. Everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required, and from him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand the more. Here we are at the First Baptist Church of Gadsden, and whether we realize it or not, we have been given much. God has blessed us here in tremendous ways. God has blessed us here, first and foremost, as a church, with the gospel of Christ. What an amazing message that we've been given to proclaim week after week after week here at First Baptist. He's also given this church amazing amounts of influence, 150 years of influence. If you just were to just sit here and look around at the faces in this room and think of the people who are represented in this room, think of the influence that there is in the city beyond us in this room right now. We've been given giftedness by the Spirit. God has gifted the people in this room. God has gifted the people of this church in tremendous ways. He's given us resources. He's given us resources in unique ways as a church, resources that other churches of our size don't have. He's given us an amazing heritage. This church is over 150 years old, and for over 150 years, this church has made a gospel impact in Etowah County and beyond. When I go travel around among the Baptists in our state and beyond, people want to know how things are going at the First Baptist Church of Gadsden. People are interested in this church. There's a heritage here. It's been here for a long time. And God has also given us a beautiful facility. What I would say is one of the most beautiful church facilities I've ever seen in my life. It's a beautiful place that God's given us. And from the very first moment I stepped foot on this campus as a prospect to be the pastor here, I've thought through a lot of things about this place. And I've wondered often how many widow's mites are stacked up in the bricks that build this place. I wondered often how many sacrifices were made over the years. I've wondered often how many people were desperate to see this place the best it could be for the entire duration of this church. God has given us so much, and now we're at a place where we must ask the question, we know what we've received, but what is required? What is required? Now, today's not the day to twist people's arms and to say, we must do this, or we have to do this, or we have to do that. But today is the day when we ask ourselves the question, what is the best way to be stewards of what we've been given? What is the best way to be good stewards of the gospel of Christ? What is the best way to be good stewards of the influence that the people of this church have been given? What is the best way to be good stewards of the gifts which our church has been given? What is the best way to be good stewards of the resources which our church has been given? What is the best way to be good stewards of the heritage which our church has been given? What is the best way for us to take this beautiful facility and to ensure that it is an excellent tool for the ministry of this church, not only for this generation, but for the generations to come? What is required of us? I ask you simply this, would you pray and ask the Lord for wisdom? Would you at least consider that this is a path that we should take as a church to ensure that we have a place that is an excellent tool for ministry for this generation and beyond? Would you pray alongside this committee who's put so much hard work? Would you pray alongside this man of God, Lawrence Corley, who's put so much hard work into this master plan? Would you pray and ask the Lord, Lord, give us wisdom as a church to ensure that we are moving in the right direction? As you leave today, you're going to receive a packet. There'll be packets at all the doors. I ask that you just simply pick one of those packets up. Take that. There's a letter from the master plan committee there. There are all the details, most of the details at least, that you've seen on the slideshow today, you'll find in that packet as well. Take that, read over that, pray over that. And tonight at 5:30, we will have a town hall meeting in the fellowship hall, directly below here in the fellowship hall. Lawrence will be back, and we'll be here to answer your questions, any questions you may have, any concerns you may have. As we continue to press forward into our future, we want to ensure that as we look to what it is that we've been given, that we're also asking the question, what is required? How can we be faithful to the God who's been so faithful to us? Today, during the invitation, I want to encourage you to pray. Let's take the time of invitation today to pray. Now, there are some of you here this morning who may have said, you know what, this was the morning I wanted to make a decision. I promise you that we'd be more than happy to talk with you about what it might mean for you to pray to receive Christ today. We believe the gospel, and we want to have a place here that's a beacon for the community to come and hear the gospel of Christ proclaimed at every level of our church, in every facet of our church. I'd love to pray with you this morning about what it might mean for you to follow Christ for the first time. You may be looking for a church home. You may say, I want to be a part of a church that has this kind of vision to reach people in its community. I'd love to talk with you about what it might mean for you to become a member here at First Baptist Church. But finally, to the people of this church, to the believers and the members of this church, I challenge you this morning, take this time to pray. Some of you may want to pray at the altar during the invitation. Some of you may want to stay just where you are and pray. But this morning, after I pray, I want to invite you to come and pray that God would give us wisdom to move forward in the best way possible here at First Baptist Church. Let's pray together. Lord, we're grateful to you for the gospel of Christ. Lord, we thank you for sending Lawrence Corley to our church. We thank you for the excellent committee that you gave us to help work through this master plan. And God, we pray for the future of our church, that you would continue to bless us in the tremendous ways you have already. And Lord, that we would be faithful stewards of what we've been given, because we know to whom much has been given, much will be required. And so, Lord, I pray that we would press forward in the way that you see fit.